right, let's turn to the third chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Hebrews. I'm going to focus on a couple of verses. I want to start on verse 1. This is your identity. Wherefore, holy brethren. So, all of us are holy brethren. The word for holy in the Greek is hagios. Hagios, say it, hagios.
Hagios.
Hagios. It does not mean justified. It means justified and sanctified. So hagios means to be sanctified after being justified. Now, sometimes they're used interchangeably, but usually the word hagios relates to the actual making holy. It doesn't mean imputed. Imputed, which is justified. So justified is dikaios. That means God has declared it. So it's still the same word, holy, but or righteous or good. But it's a different aspect of it. So hagios means holy brethren. In other words, you've been set aside by faith. You've been set aside to belong to God, to walk with God, to accompany God, to be with God, to house yourself with God, to move from the company you're in to another company, to another group. You're a member now of a different household. You're no longer of the household of this world, but you belong to another. So that identification creates a new identity and a new capacity. You are now a partaker or a participant or a citizen or a member of God's household. So by putting you here, number 4, you've now become identified with Jesus Christ as Savior, and you had to leave Moses. You had to leave Moses because Moses has one mistake in him. Only one mistake. Anybody know what it is? So there's one mistake with Moses. What's his mistake? Okay, he's got the law, and that means your heart won't be in it. Now, I'm going to explain that carefully to you so that you understand the change, the shift, the meta. Meta means to no longer be with this, but with that. So it's like changing your mind, changing your house, getting a new location, having a new gang that you're with. You used to be part of the world, now you're Jewish. Or you used to be part, I can draw a pyramid here, so be leaving Egypt, then becoming Israeli, Jewish, and then leaving that as well. Why? Because there's a mistake in it. Not only is the pagan pyramid Egypt group wrong, but so is the Jewish, religious, legalistic, you do it work wrong because of the law. Why? What's wrong with the law? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. Security. What's wrong with it is security. Do you want security?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Right. I know that one.
What you want is certainty. Now, I'll tell you why. Most people will trade the word Bible for psychological or physical security. What they want is they want to use Jesus to get psychological or physical, psychosomatic. They want to get psychological or physical, that is soulish or bodily security. Okay? I want a husband. I want a job. I want reputation. I want money. I want health. I want something of this world, not just Jesus. The problem with that is that nothing in this world will ever satisfy your heart. Nothing in this world is going to ever satisfy your heart. Now, you know, this is exploding like in my mind, my heart, to share this with you, is the world cannot give you righteousness or holiness or goodness or fulfillment or anything. It can't give you anything. That's why everything here is worthless, evil, vain, no good. But moving them from the world out of Egypt, so Moses brought the children out of Egypt. Jeff, it be possible if I could get a pen even also?
They're right there beside those.
Oh, great, thank you. Okay, I want to draw the pyramid because I want you to see this. So here's the pyramid over here, and I've got to leave Egypt, or the pyramid, or safety, or security. One thing about Egypt is there's no liberty. One thing about, in Egypt, the pharaoh has liberty, but the slave doesn't. So there's one thing wrong about that is you don't have freedom to do anything because you have to do what the pharaoh says. You have to do what the law says. You have to do what Egypt says. So he calls his people out of, he has an exodus, out of Exodus to go to the Holy Land, the promised land. Remember that? Now the promise was long before Moses, right? The promise was long before Moses. So the certainty of that promise resideth in the heart. That's faith. So you can come out of Egypt by faith in God's goodness and his promise, or you can come out because you just don't like being a slave of the world. And you can get into your own kind of security. Like, I was secure there, but I wanted a little more liberty. Okay? So you can get a little more liberty. So when you become a religious person, a legalistic, religious, external, go-to-church person, like almost everybody we know, you now call yourself Christian. You now call yourself Jewish. You call yourself something, the Muslims. But you've traded then less liberty for more liberty. That's why the Muslims want to get Sharia law here in the United States. They want to have the security of their laws, not ours. They don't like ours. They want to have their own laws. So law always means security, but never certainty. In other words, the law is in your soul. It's never in your heart. I'm going to say it again. You remember the natural man has the law written on his heart. He has the law right there. Behave yourself. The problem with that is you don't know what behave yourself means. So does it mean by faith or does it mean by works? What does it mean? You don't know. So that's the problem with the natural man is he knows he should be good and he knows he should not be evil. But he doesn't know what good or evil are. Remember, you don't eat of that tree. You can't eat of that tree. You all understand that? But one of the things that law does is it secures you in this world. Here, I'm insecure in this world because only the Pharaoh, he's the top guy up here, only the Pharaoh gets his will, gets his way. I don't. So I'll move out and I'll get my own religion, I'll get my own understanding, and then I'll secure myself with this world. And when you behave yourself, you're better than others. And that's a certain security there. That's a certain security. But if you do wrong, and then you feel bad. If you do wrong, then you feel bad. Gee, I hope I didn't do anything wrong. And so, you can have Egyptian security, you can have Egyptian justice, you can have the world, kind of religion, and worship man, or worship your conscience, or whatever. But that's not going to get you anywhere. And so, Moses, and remember, this whole book of Hebrews is written to the Jews. It's not written to the pagans. Not written to the Romans, not written to the Greeks. It's written to the Hebrews. I believe Paul wrote the letter, but it's not important. But somebody wrote this letter. And what they wrote was just for Hebrew ears only. So it has to be somebody that's well acquainted with the Hebrew tradition. Now, he's saying, if you're over here trying to build your life over here instead of over here, you've definitely come out of the world. But what you've become is religious. And you become religious in a Jewish kind of way, which means you have to behave yourself. You have to be good. Well, no relationship can build on that. You can't build a marriage on behavior. Has anybody done it? Try it. You'll sooner or later run into two wills opposing each other. And one will is going to want to dominate the other. They're not going to come to agreement. I had a family yesterday in my house. And they came just to talk about all their arguments. And then they did it right in front of me. They argued. I said, give me an example. And then for the next 45 minutes, they just went after it. It was great. I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. But they just went after it. And I could close my eyes, go to sleep even. And they were still going, and they just paid no attention to me whatsoever. It just kept going. I could wake up, same place they were, when I went to sleep. So on. I really was. I was falling asleep listening to them. They paid no attention. They was just like, it didn't have any effect at all. They were arguing. They weren't just talking about arguing. They were arguing again. You know, how he wants the house when he comes home, and how she, failed at, getting that house like that. So it was great. I thought it was great. You know, when I come home, this is what I want, and so on and so forth. And so rather than solve that, I just listened to it. I could just, let them go at it. They were going at it big time, Both loved each other, both Christians, but really very legalistic. That time when you came home and the Jell-O was all over the table, that had just happened before you walked in. It was clean before that, And everyone was justifying themselves. Everyone was explaining, so on and so forth. So when you get under law, you're not going to have a marriage even though they loved each other. And they said it clearly. No, we love each other. We just can't stand each other. He has all these rules and I'm, busy and I he has no idea what I do and he thinks that I'm failing and I'm not and so on and so forth. So when it was all over, they looked to me and I just sat there. It's like, okay, well, Pastor, say something. We've just argued and gotten nowhere. And after all of that, it didn't resolve. So I said, well, I noticed this is not resolving. We have nothing in common. I just noticed that. But, however, I want to point something out. You never said you didn't agree with him. You agree that the Jell-O shouldn't be all over the chairs. And, the bowl from cereal from the morning is still full of milk and Cheerios floating around. You agreed that wasn't right. But you had a reason why. You either cleaned it up and they did it again or whatever. She could explain everything. Yes, but then that's when that came up and then this happened and so on. And so she had an explanation. She hated defending herself. But she never at any time said, I don't agree with it. She said a lot of times, well, I agree with that. Well, I agree that that's not a good thing. But, and so he was dumping the law on her all the time is, hey, look, I grew up in this situation and when I want my family to be different. When I walk in, I want the children behaved. And, they can have a mess in their bedrooms, but I don't want a mess in the living room and in the kitchen. We only have a small house and, we're walking all over each other. Well, that's one of the problems, she said, and so on and so forth. You need to do more. He said, I can. I'm going to school and working and, trying to do everything. And so they had, both of them had a perfect explanation, right? But it's all under law. There was no Jesus in it. Y'all see this? So they had no unity. So I suggested, why don't we come up with a real simple, not solve the whole problem, just solve one little problem and agree on one little thing. What if we just could agree on one little thing? So they looked at each other like, what? Because every move they made was a wrong move. There were no good moves. Because if he gave up his lifelong dream of having a, this ideal home, which he could do before he was married, he could do that. He had the ideal thing. He was disciplined. He could stay neat and clean. But now that he's married her, whom he loves, now it's chaos and it's a mess and it's always awful. It's not the way it should be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyway, so these people, so I said, okay, well, let's just come up with something and let's not put the burden on her. Because it sounds like she's the bad guy and you're the good guy. Well, I don't want that. I knew you didn't. So he never wanted to blame her, but he was blaming her the whole time. I mean, everything he said was a blame on her. It's making the wife more and more burdened. Y'all see this? It's, geez, I'm this and I'm that and I've tried my best and so on and so forth. I just can't run this whole operation here. Three kids running around and, a little bitty home and, it's nothing. I mean, just no yard to play in and so on and so forth. So she had all her reasons why the thing was impossible. I'm not even going to tell you all the things, but there were more that made it absolutely, I could identify totally with her. I could identify totally with him. But the truth is, we love each other, but we can't get along. Because he's constantly wanting me to do something different or more or whatever, and I'm doing the best I can, and I don't want to be under his law. I don't want to be under the pressure. Can you see how Jesus wants the man to have the burden and the woman to have the blessing? Well, that just passed through the wind. I mean, it ain't going to happen. So I said, okay, well, let's come up with something where you, the man, bear the burden and she gets the blessing. Let's just come up with something real simple. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I came up with something listening to him. I said, why don't you do this? And that'll take all the burden off of her, and all the burden will be on you. And he accepted it, said, okay, I could do that. Now, I can do that. I understand that. I can do that. So he was still doing his law, keeping his law, and I just gave him an extra commandment. Added one more commandment onto his law that released her. Do y'all see that? And she was happy with that because they finally agreed on something, that he should do one more thing. You see that? That's perfect. That's the way it is with God. If you're going to have a law, put it on God. The guy that wanted the law, put it on him. Y'all see that? I mean, this is not a joke. This is real life. This is real theology. The person that wants the law, give them another one. Because they're the ones that want it. Because they feel secure. He felt insecure when he'd come home and the house would be a mess and chaos and the kids would be, you know, watching TV and throwing food around and stuff. He just didn't feel good about that. And he wanted her to back him up on the, no, you don't just do what you want. You do what I say. When I walk in, I want the place neat and clean. I can leave it in the bedrooms. You clean that up on the weekends. But at least keep it out of the living room and out of the kitchen and, you know, stuff like that. Y'all see that? Now, security is, he was raised in chaos when he was a kid, so he hated it. Where he was always moving around, his father was never home. He was a, you know, drug addict, and everything was crazy. The mother was running off with lovers and all this stuff. So he didn't like that kind of chaos. Can you see that? Can you understand a guy like that? That grew up in all that chaos, wouldn't want it to continue. Whereas she grew up in a loving family and, you know, just felt like, you know, hey, loose is fun. You know, no laws, no rules, you know, just kind of love, and, you know, whatever. So she wasn't at all. And he's going to be in school for another 3 years. So he's never going to get and he's got a great job. I mean, he could make a lot of money, but he can't do it because he's got to go half school, half work. She's also working a little bit and homeschooling and, you know, all this kind of stuff and babysitting and all this stuff all at once and several other bigger things than even all that. And so there's no way it's going to work. Isn't that neat? So I just sat there and said, okay, well, what we can do here is we're going to both agree on this, that there's no foundational problem here. You both love each other. You both are Christians. You both love God. But the way you're talking to each other is completely soulish. It's completely legalistic. It's completely in the law. He accuses, you defend. That's not going to work out. Do y'all see that? Because you can just tell he's not happy with me. He's not happy with me. He comes home and he doesn't say it, but I can just tell he's... You start yelling at the kids and stuff, and why isn't this done? Why do you have it like this? Get that back in your room, you know, and stuff. Why are you on television so much? I don't know, they have something called PlayStation. I don't even know what it is. Is it something that kids like or something? I don't know what it is. Sounds like play to me, but anyway, whatever it is. And so he wanted less of that, more of workstation, you know, I could tell, you know, and so on. So when you're under the law, there's no heart in it. Your heart is not in law. The problem with the Jewish people is no heart. What have they done? They've gone through the wilderness and they hardened their heart against God. They did not have a relationship with God. They had a performance before God. You see how relationships cannot be built on performance? That's legalism. Well, you need to change. Well, you need to change. Well, you need to change. So I just came up with something where they could agree. And I put all the burden on the man. Because I said, I don't want to burden her. I want to burden you. Because you're the man. You want it. So you get an extra burden right here. And he agreed right away. Yeah, I'll do it. I know I can do that. I'll do it. But I want her to reinforce it. I said, okay, oh, it's okay. But here's the way we're going to do it, in such a way that it's easy for her. And she'll agree to it. She did. She said, yeah, I can do it that way. So he drew the law, And he agreed to do this, and then she agreed to point that out every once in a while to the kids. That was all there was to it. And it would be written on a piece of paper and put on the refrigerator. Here are the laws of this family. And so he was going to write down seven little points. And just put it down. Because I listened to him, I could tell he had certain rules he wanted. And they're very specific, like no milk left in the bowl at breakfast time. Feed them less. I mean, he had an answer for everything, no matter what she said. See, you gave them too much Cheerios. And then it floated in the bowl all day, and they only ate half of it. And then the other kid came along and ate his sandwich and all his stuff. Don't give him sandwiches. See, he had an answer. Don't give him sandwiches. He had answers for everything. So I just write that down, and I articulated one or two little rules that would make it good. No Jell-O on the table or on the chair. And just make those as rules so that when he comes home, the television isn't blaring. Just stuff like this. Put it all down. Put that on the refrigerator so it isn't on her. She won't have a burden then, because she can just point to it and say, Dad's coming home in 30 minutes, and look at all these rules. Get them. Now, that was it. She said, I'd be happy to do that. I just hate him coming home and accusing me of not getting everything done. So I said, well, that's easy. We'll just solve that. We'll make a rule, because he's a rule guy. But you know what? That's not going to make for a happy marriage. That won't make for a happy marriage. And it won't solve any of their problems. But they at least agreed. So they went home quite happy. And I was a great pastor. I was an awesome pastor. I had a solution. But you see, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way. And that's why, come out. Where are my crayons here? Come out. So, come away from law, come away from the world. Out of Egypt, I called my son, and then out of the Jewish religion. I'll make a little candelabra here. Get out of the Jewish thing, too. Get out of being legalistic. Because there's no security in legalism, and the only reason people choose it is because there's no heart in it. They choose it for the soul, so that the soul, psychologically, I can feel good that I have a law and I did it. And then when I get punished, I understand. You see that? Every child loves that. That's soulishness. But there's no relationship. There's no maturity. That will never get you anywhere. You just have, for the rest of your life, you just simply have, I obeyed or I disobeyed. So you either feel guilty or proud. How would you like to raise children that are either guilty or proud? They're either, despairing or, they feel proud that they did it. I did everything my parents said. And then they want out of that house. You all see that? So, no, that's not the right way. God wants faith. Now, the Jews were rejected and never got into the promised land even though they went in. They never got into the promised land the way God wanted them to go in because they had no faith. It said he rejected them because of their unbelief in their heart. Heart unbelief. Your heart should be filled with faith. What's faith built on? Promises. So this is a promise. From here to here is a promise. This is a command out to here. So you can either live the Jewish way or the pagan way or the Christian way. I like the Christian way because it's the only one that gives you a heart. This one is body, this one is soul, and this one is spirit. So you can develop any one you want. So I believe that the certainty of the word is all that my heart needeth. That's the way to satisfy my heart. The other two will never hit my heart. That's why the Jewish people have no heart. Even though they keep the law, they keep Torah, go to synagogue, bow at the wall, nod their heads, mumble a bunch of scripture words and so on, peace, peace, shalom, shalom. So what? That's the same as Allah Akbar. That's the same as, every other stupid religion in the world. Evil. Satanic. I don't know if you heard me. I don't know if I was clear. I want to be clear. I want to get rid of all your ideas because your ideas are wrong. Being good is bad. Being moral is bad. Being religious is bad. Being anything in this world less than what Jesus wants is wrong. So I don't care about how the world is. I don't care how religion is. I don't care about anything except Jesus. Because the religion of Moses was not what happened when Israel met the law. When Israel met the law, they didn't think, let's do it by faith. Let's have all our works grow out of faith. No. They did it without heart, without faith, without any kind of certainty in the promise. Because I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Why Jewish people hate suffering, but we don't. We love it. Here's the difference. Is that when you have a promise, you're going to suffer. A promise brings suffering. I promise I'll be faithful to you to the end. Now, that's going to cause suffering, because they won't. They won't. I promise, I love you, they say at the altar. I love you. Do you love this woman? Do you taketh this woman? And blah, blah, blah. Yes, I do. It's not going to work, because it's a human promise. And all the counseling I ever do with married people is, don't make a human promise because you can't keep it. How many know that men are no good? How many are aware of that? They're liars. They make promises they can't keep. And women are legalistic. And they'll justify whatever and say, you know, I did well. So that's what she was doing and that was he was doing. You know, like, what's the connection between I love her? And he looked right at her. I said, look right at her and tell her, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my heart. See, he could just do it. And it had no bearing on the fact that he was going to dump all this law on her. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
There's a little disconnect there. Because he wasn't a pagan like his father and mother were. I mean, they were awful. And then she had pretty much the same kind of parents. But one was okay, the other one wasn't. But the truth is, then they got into this legalistic thing. He wanted everything to, you know, usually people who have chaos in their hearts want order outside. In other words, they use their orderly behavior on the outside to cover up their chaos on the inside. And you can't tell because their car is neat, their house is neat, and everything is okay, but on the inside, they're completely empty, blank. No one's at home. Hello? You know, and because they've done stuff, they want everyone to, you know, give them a plaque on the wall for the scout leader of the year, or, you know, businessman of the month, or whatever. And achievement then covers up your chaos inside that you just simply don't want anyone to see. Whereas if you're a sloppy housekeeper, that shows how peaceful you are. That was a joke. In other words, I want something to be in order. You know, but some people are just slobs. They're just slobs, pigs. And you just walk in and it's just chaos. You have to walk around the garbage and everything and the jellos all over the table and all that. But the problem with that is it's kind of like sending you a signal like, I am chaotic. You know, I'm a mess. You see? But that's normal. Before I go into most homes, you have to call ahead of time or ring the bell. Because people want to, it's clean normally when company comes, but when not, you don't know what will be there. There'll be underwear everywhere, and you know, the whole thing will be chaos. You see what I'm saying? They want to put the beer away. The pastor's coming. Put the beer away. You know, so on. You know what I'm saying? So people are hiders. But here's one thing. At least when you're a slob, you're not hiding. That is so good. I love that. Well, there it is. That's the person right there. There they are. Now, they better have faith in Jesus to overcome the slobness. They have to have something that says, God loves me no matter what. Now, I dare say if we divided this room in half, half would be slobs and half would be neat. Really. And so it really makes no difference. You're still under a law. This group is under the law, and they don't care that they're slobs. The other group cares. So on. That kind of thing. And the question is not outwardly, what do you look like? It's inwardly, what do you like? Do you have faith in Jesus? Because faith in Jesus doesn't say, be a slob. Faith in Jesus says, say whatever Jesus says, do whatever Jesus does. But you can't do that as a law. You have to do that as a gospel. So here is the promise. Watch this. All the weight is on Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Ah, right there. Now, the rest, does that mean I can be a slob? Since he's come into my life, well, good. Now I can be a slob without guilt. My heart is free. Can you imagine somebody concluding that? That just because Jesus has forgiven me, good, I'm just going to live like a slob. I'm not going to care about a thing. I didn't care before, but now I'm not going to care. And I'm now going to be happy at the same time. And you can't make me feel guilty either. Step over that box. No, sit over there. That chair falling apart. Oh, that hole in the ground. Yeah, that's always been there. You know, and isn't that a way to live? Now, I don't want to show of hands, but has anybody grew up that way? Where you just grew up in, you know, utter chaos and poverty. And, you know, it's a slum existence. Amen? Hello? Nobody? Okay, good. Don't say it. You actually can survive. Did you know that people that are poor actually can survive? Most poor people, because they have little bitty houses and they're all cramped in together and they don't have any yard to play in and so on. Most people that are poor, unless you live in the country, it isn't all neat and clean and so on, because it's too much, you know, chaos, dirt, whatever, and it's too tight a space. So just because you have a big house and you can cram everything in a room doesn't say you're neat. It's just that you have so many rooms you can cram a bunch of the stuff into the garage or into the, you know, closets or into some storeroom or something and just put it away. And when people come, you just quickly toss it in there, close the door, and, you know, we try that. We do that, Peg and I. Keep the living room as clean as possible. But when you want to get something done, the only room that's clean enough to go into is the living room. So pretty soon you're chaosing that up. But when you're all done, you just gather it all together and toss it into some other room.
Did you enjoy coming to visit me this week?
What? Where were you?
Oh, my house.
I didn't come to your house. Was that your house?
Carry on.
Yeah, right. So, that's okay. All I want you to know is you don't want to live a pagan way, and you don't want to live a Jewish legalistic law way where you have security in this world. And here's the security. The security is not security. You know what the security is? I don't want to suffer. That's where Jewish people are. That's where all religious people are. We're only talking about Jewish people today because it's the book of the Hebrews. We're only talking about the Jewish people. They don't want to suffer. And Jesus basically is saying, come and suffer. Why? I told you why. It has nothing to do with poverty or, you know, sickness. It has to do with this. When I make a promise, the promise has an end somewhere in the future, and I'm suffering until that end comes. Did you see that? In other words, there's a distance between the promise, here's the promise, and then here's the fulfillment, way over here. And that distance is suffering. Because I don't get to see what I want to see. For example, in 3 years he'll be done, and he'll be working. And he'll have a good job, because he's training right now, and he's going to make a lot of money. It's good skill. It's a highly paid skill. But until that time, she has to live in a hovel with his laws and chaos and everything else. And, you know, it's amazing. How can you suffer all that time? It's easy for him. Being a legalist, he's just going to wait until that thing comes to pass and hope it comes to pass. But why is he depressed today? Why did they come to the house? Because he had lost some of his joy. Because she resists him at every step. She doesn't want to wait forever. She wants a bigger house now. And they can't afford it. So they want a big house with a small salary. So now they're thinking, you know, about how do you do it that way? And they've come up with kind of a solution. A promise is like, I'm going to give you the kingdom, but you don't get it now. You see the promise? A promise is like something you don't get right away. So you suffer. Well, how is it? It's going great. But it's hard to keep that up day after day when you haven't seen the answer yet. Y'all see that? Like, you know, Peggy, when she married me, she had the idea that I would live to make her happy. Basically that. When we got married, I would only have one thought in mind, how to make Peggy happy. Well, that wasn't my thought at all. I had the opposite thought. Now that I have a wife, I have a slave, I have a cook, I have a, you know, dishwasher, I have someone that will, you know, write my papers for me, type them up and stuff, you know. I have someone who's a helpmate that'll help me do what I want to do so I can play tennis more often. That was the way I had it viewed. And her value in all of that is, I'll be a happy husband. You see how that might not work? But she really had this illusion that I only live to make her happy, Hugo. What an illusion. Am I not right?
You're right.
Yeah. Because you don't live just to make Roxy happy, do you?
No.
You want her to make you happy. Am I correct?
Yes.
That marriage is not going to work. That marriage is shot. You see? That is not going to work. Because there's two illusions there. One has an illusion, the other has an illusion. And both of them believe they're in reality. So, how many, after you got married, wanted to change your mate? Or kill him? Either change him or kill him. That's basically why they were sitting there. Because he was getting to the point where he could no longer believe that she was going to hang in there. And she even threatened that at times. I'm leaving, I'm taking all this mine, and I'm out of here. I mean, she'd just say it. And that was disturbing him. He could have believed in his promise of 3 years from now everything will be all right. But meanwhile, just hang in there with me. But she didn't believe him anymore. Because here every day he's coming home beating the tar out of her with his attitude and his words. His, why is the house like this? And he had all those questions. Y'all see that? So suffering is not what legalistic people want. They want the security that I did what was right. I'm going to school. I'm learning. I'm this, I'm that, and so on and so forth. I'm working. And why should the house not be right? And keep that for 3 years till I can afford a bigger place. So they have to be out now in 2 weeks. So by the end of the month, they have to be out. And, you know, I couldn't solve that problem for them. So that was why they were sitting there. Do you have a solution for that, Pastor Jim? I do, indeed. I do. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Let's just rejoice. Because you're both Christians. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We're all Christians. Everybody's a Christian. Give me a J. Give me a deal. We're all fine. So the foundation is good. But the soul in the middle, it isn't the heart. It's the soul. They love each other. They love Jesus. They have faith in Jesus. But the soul is impatient. And the soul is where all their arguments take place. They're not arguing whether they love each other or whether they believe in Jesus. They're arguing about, you know, what she's doing or not doing, what he's doing or not doing. You know, why does he have to have all this pressure on me? I wasn't raised that way. My parents just, you know, let me do as I wished. And so on and so forth. And he wants all this, you know, put it all together and so on. And I believe I'm overworking. My God, I've never worked so hard in my life. You know, for her, it's, you know, a real burden to please this guy. Y'all see that? And for him, it's like, what little I'm asking you to do? Can't you do the simplest thing? No Jell-O on the table. What's hard with that? No Cheerios floating in the cereal bowl at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I come home. That's all I'm asking. You know, so he wasn't asking a lot. To him, it was little. To her, it was major. You don't have no idea what my day has been. This neighbor kid that I'm keeping, which is your friend's child, and these two kids that we have right here, fighting all the time, one's this age, and so on. They're always, you know, and they're spilling stuff and throwing stuff. And everything's happening. And, you know, I just can't keep it all up. I have to work, you know, 2 days a week, and then I'm homeschooling, and then I'm this and I'm that. You know, I just can't take it. So you see, in the soul, that would totally belies, it totally goes against what they believe. They believe in Jesus. They love each other. And yet, here they are fighting all the time. Don't you love it? Don't you love that? Don't you see the beauty of that? What you have to do is realize Christianity has nothing to do with law, nor does it have anything to do with license. It isn't licentious and it isn't legalistic. It's a relationship with the living God It's certainty based on the promises of God. Everything in this book is true. And I am so patient, I don't really care. I don't care about anything Peggy says or does or whatever. I love her just the way she is. I don't want her to change. I tell her about changes, she doesn't do them. Doesn't bother me at all. I just like talking. I just talk till I'm blue in the face. It's nothing. It's nothing. Y'all see that? Peggy, if you'd only get up at 6 every morning, you know, and, you know, have breakfast ready for me and have the slippers, you know, stuff like that. It would be peaceful. It would be wonderful. I should have married an Oriental girl. Should have married Julia. Julia, you would have been a much better wife, I believe. But I did it because you're more subservient. Like that. Want to please. Much worse? Oh, my God. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that.
You read too many books.
Amen. So, now, with that background, I want to read the book of Hebrews and show you out of the Greek language, how powerful our faith is. Chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, we are all brothers. Say it, I'm a brother.
I'm a brother.
Even if you're a woman, you're a brother. Holy brethren. Now, it's mostly referring to the men, but it's not excluding the women. We're all brethren, just like the men are all part of the bride. I am bride, I am brethren. No big deal. There's no male or female. I mean, in Christianity, all boils down to something later. There isn't going to be any male or female. So don't. It's not going to carry on like it is here. This is just a temporary thing, and you're under a promise. And you're going to suffer until the day in your soul. You're going to suffer until the day. So here's a trick. Here's a trick. Here's a great trick. Kill your soul. All you got to do is kill your soul. How do you do it? Fall in love with Jesus. When Jesus loves you, you don't have to love you. And you don't need a husband to love you, or a wife to love you, or children to love you, or life to love you. You don't need anyone to love you because you've already got everything. But that's, of course, a promise. But that promise killeth me because I'm going to suffer because I haven't seen it yet. And in the meanwhile, I have to rejoice all the time. And that killeth my flesh, which is exactly my prayer. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. So, this is an easy religion right here. Do and don't. This is a great religion right here. Don't. I love that one. This one is a do that I don't do. But this one I'm going to feel guilty. This one I'm not going to feel too bad because I'm just a pagan. And pagans develop their religions. Muslim religion. It's an easy religion. I know, 5 times a day, kneel, Akbar, Allah, all that stuff. Big deal. It's doable. Flesh can do it. That's why it's secure for them. I'm a good Muslim. They all know they're rotten Muslims because they don't go to Mecca and they don't do all the Ramadan stuff and so on. But even so, they did Allah Akbar 5 times a day. So you can tell who a good Muslim is. He does it, gets on his little rug, pays 2.5%. That's a gain of 8.5% over Christians who have to tithe and Jews. That's a better deal. How many know that there is no law of tithing? Baptists believe there is, but they're wrong. There's no law. You're not under law. There's no law that you have to tithe. Just give 10%. There's no law. There's nothing in the New Testament. Of course, they refer to the law of the Old Testament. And of course, you can do it. And you know, God told you if you want to keep a law, that's the law right there. But Christians just give whatever. Just give out of whatever. Out of the increase and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's just an offering. So there is no tithes. But most Christians want the security, like pastors particularly, they want the security of an income. Amen? So they want 10% off the people's salaries and stuff. I don't preach that. Never have, never will. I don't believe it. I believe God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen.
And David may not believe it, but that's the way it is.
He's had to learn.
He's had to learn the hard way. Is that You know,
I'm looking it up right here.
You were going to find the verse? Amen. Yeah, there's one in Hebrews. Yeah.
I love it.
But it's referring to Abraham. It's referring to Abraham. But anyway, the point is this. We don't have laws in Christianity. It's a relationship of faith where you suffer. Amen? It's a good thing to suffer. Because then you have to trust God. The God who made the promise must sustain me during the time when the promise is not fulfilled. So until the end, I won't know if it's true or false, actually. Because during this time, I have faith, and I don't see anything. I don't see it. I see a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, but I don't see the full thing. So how do I know it's going to come out? How do I know that God will take care of me? How do I know He'll never leave me or forsake me? How do I know that it's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom? How do I know anything? Because I don't see it. But seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Why? Because I believe in the certainty of this word. I believe God cannot lie.
Right.
I believe He gave me a perfect wife, so no matter what she does or says, she can do the absolute opposite. I translate all of it into this promise.
Amen.
Peg, when you just said, I hate your guts, what you meant to say, I love you, Jim. Am I correct on that?
No.
You know, but it doesn't matter. I still don't believe her. I believe God's promise. Did y'all see that? So I just translate it. She speaks in tongues. I just translate it into good English. You meant to say, I love you, Jim, and you did mean to get down on your knee when you said it, but you're not doing it,
of course.
But she meant to. And I tell her that all the time. Peg, I know what you're actually saying right here. I'm understanding you completely. You love me. You want to bake a cake for me right now. I can't. But I love that. Don't you love that, Judy? That is so powerful because you have to have a husband who knows how to translate wives' talk. How many know that men and women can't communicate? Are you aware of that? I mean, just in general, men and women don't communicate. I mean, you will always marry somebody that is contrary. You're just going to do it. I mean, I don't care who you pick, that person's going to be contrary. And so that's why homosexuality is so popular today. I'll just marry a woman. Okay, fine. I'll just marry another man. Fine. But you know what? It's still not going to work. It's still not going to work because you're the problem. Your soul, yourself has to die for any relationship to take place. You have to realize, and it's so easy to die. It's so easy to have your soul crucified. What is it? The love of Jesus. He made a promise. Jim, I love you. No matter what. Everything's going your way. Zippity-doo-dah. Jim, I just want you to praise me and rejoice in me. Thank me without seeing. You don't get to see and experience. Oh, could I have some little clues along the way? Yes, you'll get a few clues along the way, but you probably won't recognize them. I think that's funny. Even when a blessing comes, I don't even know what a blessing looks like. Well, how will I know? Trust me. That's why people go for law. Then I don't have to suffer. I don't have to believe in any promise. But I tell you what, the Jews could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. In their heart, nothing. Hardened their heart. God made a promise, they didn't believe it. In other words, they didn't follow Abraham, the father of faith. They followed Moses, the giver of law. Did you see that Moses is a son? No, a servant in the house. He's been appointed by God in the house to serve God. And God said, give him a law. Okay, try it. Try the law. First of all, try license. See how that works. Then try law. See how that works. Then try faith. See how that works. Which one are you into now? Are you into license, legalism, or love? I'm in love. I'm in love. Is everybody here in love?
Yes.
Is everybody here in love? I mean, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So I'm happy all the time. I'm not happy when I get a raise. I'm happy when I cut my salary in, you know, a third or something. Who cares? Who cares? That's good. It's good to suffer. I love it. Because then it's questionable whether God can keep His promise. And whether you're in heaven. Did you know I'm in heaven all the time? I'm in heaven. You see? I really am. Why? I don't care that I see it. I just believe it, and believing is seeing. That's a faith person.
Yeah, right.
So do you live by faith or by sight?
Faith.
You want to see it or you want to believe it? You see, what I hate about believing, but I don't, because I believe this word is certain. I believe that God cannot lie. And I believe when everything goes against me, I laugh. When I'm in the midst of troubles, I laugh. That is so amazing. I could give example after example. That when bad things happen, I think it's great. Why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said all things work together for the good. He's obviously talking about when it doesn't look like it. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Let's say I do something wrong. That'll work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Let's say I do the right thing. Praise God. You know, I didn't do it anyway. That was him doing it. All right, now listen. Holy brethren, hagios adelphoi, partakers. Now that word partakers is meto. Meta means with. Okay? Meteko or metokoi. Okay, this one says metokoi. Metokoi, what does it mean? It means from echo to have with meta. So to have with. All right, now here you are. Here you are. You're in the world. The world's the biggest circle. Okay, so here's the world. You're in the world. And then you make a change from the world to Judaism. Okay? So now I left the world, I left Egypt, and I got into the promised land, the Holy Land. Now Jesus is saying, come out of there and go here, right here, promise. And so now I'm just with Jesus. So I came out of here, number one, then I came out of here, number two. So metokos means don't be here anymore, move over to here. And be with Moses. And then Jesus said, don't be with Moses anymore, but be over here with Jesus by faith. So I left legalism and license to join Jesus and become a lover. Why? Because it's great. I totally believe. Why? Because I don't have security now, but I have certainty. I'm trading. I don't have suffering. I mean, I'm not resisting suffering anymore. I want to suffer. Why? Because I'm believing a promise. That's why. The suffering has nothing to do with suffering. It has to do with believing a promise and not seeing it. So as long as I don't see it, I'm living by faith. That's suffering because I'm not seeing it by sight. The suffering then has nothing to do with suffering. I'm getting rid of that silly teaching that suffering means suffering. Suffering doesn't mean suffering. It means suffering, but because I'm suffering under a promise, I'm happy. Why? Because I believe Jesus is going to work it all out. I believe the jello on the floor and all over the kitchen is wonderful. And that my wife has been a good wife, throwing jello with the kids even, and throwing jello at me when I come in. Why? Because Jesus loves me. And everything's going my way. That man could have been happy. But he had a rule, a law. A security. I don't want any jello. And one of her suggestions was, well, when you come home, clean up the jello. Empty the bowl out into the sink. Only take you, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. The 5 or 10 minutes you said it would take me, you do it when you come home. Wasn't that clever of her?
Yeah.
I mean, what is wrong with you helping out? Look at all the things that are burdening me. You're thinking of you, not me. That was great. Did you all see that? And the woman is never wrong. You see that? She wants all the blessing and give him all the burden. Amen? That's a Jesus program. You see that? Well, he didn't have that theology. But I taught him that theology. I was helping him out there. Hey, you could be a lot happier if you just do what she says. You see that? So we put all the burden on the man. That was great, because that's a real man. Take the burden. Give the wife the blessing. You're going to do that?
Jesus through
me. Good, clever answer. Because you might goof up a little bit. And you'll forgive him when he goofs up every once in a while? But you'll yell at him a few times in the flesh, in the soul.
Done.
Amen. Did y'all see that? All right, now, listen to this. Metokoi. What a great word. It means called out. Metokoi means you are actually called out of the world, called out of Judaism, called out of religion. Because he's talking to Jews here. He's talking to the Hebrew people. You are called out in order to be faith sons and daughters of Jesus. It's powerful. You want to be part of him. You want to be meta with him, to be with. You don't want to be with Moses anymore, a servant. You want to be with the son, married. Better. Better.
Amen.
When you're married to Jesus and you have the security of the certainty, that's better than the security of the soul. You don't need the security of the soul. In other words, your soul is never going to be secure in this world. I'll tell you right now, you're going to be frustrated, angry, and bitter if you're trying to make your soul happy. Watch TV. That's what the little kids are doing around the house. Those three little kids, what they're doing around the house is just pleasing themselves, eating the half of the Jell-O and then leaving, watching TV, and getting it all over the place. Their toys are all over the floor. Everything is a mess and chaos. And the guy walks in and he says, "Oh my God, what have you been doing?" And here's this comment. "What have you been doing all day?"
Right.
"What in the dickens have you been doing all day?"
Knitting.
And she has answers, but he doesn't like them. Because his soul wants to be secure that everything at home, hey, the world is hell out there. But at least when I come home, this little house, how big is it? 2 bedrooms, you know, 1 bath. How big is it? Kitchen, living room. It. That's it. What's so tough about that? Just 4 rooms. You know what I'm saying? So to him, it's like, what the dickens have you been doing all day? Y'all see that? Bet you love it. Real people. These are real people. These are church members from Fort Worth. Nothing like Dallas. These are the Fort Worth people. And I love it. I love it. I'll tell you what. Give it up. Just die to that law. Don't live there anymore. Because who wants security? Let the Jell-O be. Just get Jesus. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, will give you everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, will give you everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, will give you everything else. What if you literally took Jesus at his word and had the certainty of that word? You could live by the promises of God.
Amen.
And you'd be happy all the time. And you could tell your mouth, don't answer him. Don't answer her. Just shut up. Praise God right now.
Amen.
And so I forced the man. I forced him to look at her and say, "I don't care about the Jell-O. I love you." He didn't want to say that. And then the day before, I had another couple, and I told this person, you know, to do the same. No. They wouldn't do it. Just say it. You know you're a Christian. Just say it. "I can't." No. Just say you're pleased and happy and, you know, forgive me and all that. They didn't want to say it. Because they don't want to live out of their heart by faith. They want to live out of their soul by security. You're never going to get it. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to die first. You see why discipleship is so important. We have to be not only believing in Jesus, the promise, but then we have to be discipled till we learn to rejoice in all situations at all times, and sin no longer controls and rules us. That's what this is talking about. Now, this is good. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers," metokoi, "of the heavenly calling," kaleo, which means called out. You're called out of the world. You're no longer part of the world. You're no longer part of Judaism. You're no longer part of this world. "Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession," homologeo. In other words, say the same thing he says. It's easy for me to be a good husband to Peggy. All I have to do is say the same thing Jesus says. I don't get to say what I want to say because I'm dead. I just say what Jesus said. "Peg, you're the best wife. I've never had a better wife." Did you hear the humor? "You're the absolute best wife I've ever had." And then she says back, because she's picked up on that now, "And you're the best husband I've ever had."
There you go.
Which hides the fact that you're also the worst wife I've ever had and the worst husband I've ever had.
Right.
You know, but we don't say that part. You see that?
because he's the only wife and the only husband. And so if you had two, of course, you can't use that. You don't have that humor. But in our case, we do.
Because God gave me Peggy as a gift. Who was, Jesus, faithful to him that appointed him? That word appointed actually doesn't say appointed at all. It's poiesantos. Poiesantos.
What does it mean? To make something. In other words, God the Father made Moses by appointment to be a trustee of the law. No, he did not teach the gospel. He did not teach the gospel. He told what the law is. To do what? What was his purpose in telling the law? Oh, easy. To make everybody realize you couldn't do it. I don't know if you've ever read the law. Be perfect as I'm perfect, you know, do everything right, don't do anything wrong. If you've ever lived under the law with some mate, or even yourself, you can put the law on yourself. You don't even have anybody there, but you can actually put a heavy law on yourself as, God, why do I do that? That's the law. You just put the law on yourself. I never say that to myself. I always go, woohoo! You're such a blessing, Jim. I look in the mirror and talk to myself. You are awesome. You're just an awesome person. You are beloved of God. Hi, God's beloved. What a blessing you are. People don't even recognize how great you are. It doesn't matter. Jesus sees you. Just talk to yourself. And it's a great conversation. Because it's built on the truth. Did you know that Jesus loves you?
Yes.
Doesn't love what you do. Doesn't love what you think. Doesn't love what anything. He just loves you. So I get to say that if I want to. That's the way little kids are secure. They're secure by the certainty that the parents love them no matter what. And when you make a little kid insecure by arguing and yelling at them, then they don't know. Wow, the parents are always arguing. And that was what he was concerned about, is we're arguing all the time. It's a little house and there's only, you know, the four rooms. And the kids hear everything and see everything. And they're nervous. Whoa, are you guys going to get divorced? Are you going to leave us or what? You know, are you going to divide us up or what? The little kids are concerned about it, and he was concerned. The little kids were concerned. So he's telling her, so please just do what I say, and then we won't have these problems. You all see the wisdom of that?
Yes.
The guy was completely rational.
It has nothing to do with Christianity. For this man, Jesus, was counted worthy of more than Moses, more glory. Inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by the same. But he that built all things is God. And Moses truly was faithful in all his house. In other words, he did what he was told. As a servant. For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after the gospel. But Christ as a son over his own house. That's us. Whose house we are. You're his house. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. You see that? Right there. Never flag in zeal. Just keep saying it until the day you die. Just determine. I'm going to have you stand up in a minute. But just determine, I'm going to rejoice no matter what. From now on, I'm going to speak Jesus' words. I'm going to say the same thing he says.
Amen.
Think what he thinks. Do what
Hallelujah.
He does. I'm going to do that. I'm committed to that.
Right.
And when I don't do it, I'll say I'm sorry and I'm wrong.
Amen.
And I'll tell everybody, okay, I was wrong.
Amen.
I was wrong right there. I'm correcting now. I'm going to correct it.
Right.
I'm firm.
Hallelujah.
I'm not moving. I'm not going to be
right.
Shaken.
Amen.
All right, who's ready?
Hallelujah.
Yes, I am.
Amen.
Absolutely.
It's good. You don't have to be perfect in it. There's no law. This is a promise. This is a promise. There's no law. He will keep you. He will help you. He will do it. But you have to realize what it is. This is not wait on you. This is just simply believing. And when you believe, you believe, you believe. So just don't be an unbeliever and harden your heart. Just keep believing, keep believing, keep believing, keep believing. And therefore just speak. Your trust that you have in Jesus. Sweetheart, I know I just screwed up, but Jesus didn't. I know I don't look like a blessing, but I am. You don't look like a blessing right now, but you are. Oh, I tell you, that is the Christian life. Christian life is not doing anything.
It's saying, believing, thinking something different than you ever said and believed and thought before. Do y'all see that?
Now, I want to go to verse 14, if I can get there. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. As in verse 8, the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. In other words, Jewish people, when they got into the wilderness, they forgot the faith of Moses, and they took up, the faith of Abraham, they took up the law of Moses. Don't trade certainty for security. Don't trade it. A psychological security for you, selfish person, won't help you. It'll not bring you to hope and happiness and joy. But certainty in the promise that Jesus said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Ah, you're going to make it. This marriage is going to work. These relationships are going to work. This family is going to work. This church is going to work. This economy is going to work. God will not run out of resources. There's nothing he doesn't know. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to end. We win.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
We win. Amen. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Why? Because they didn't have their heart in it. And said, they always do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they'll never enter my rest. They got out of Egypt, but they didn't enter into the promised land with their hearts. They entered in with their souls, which is not to enter at all. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You either have a true heart, good heart, of faith, or an evil heart of unbelief. Which do you have?
Faith.
Which do you have?
Faith.
You have a good heart of faith because you totally believe that God can't lie.
That's right.
You totally believe he'll keep his promise. You're not keeping it. He's keeping it. Listen to this. But exhort one another every day. That's what we're doing right now. While it's yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is the only sin now, unbelief. For we are made partakers of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I've joined myself to him. I'm metoike. I'm holding echo to God. Meta. Metoikos. What does it mean? I'm holding to God. I'm not losing my faith. I'll never quit. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna get discouraged. I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna thank him. I'm gonna adore him. I'm gonna worship him. And I'm gonna speak to all mankind the way Jesus would speak. Because everything's going my way.